Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
It's another week. It's a long holiday weekend, and it's John Edwards. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Oh, man, baseball playoffs, John, last night. You've probably worn out the replay button on the ending of the Phillies-Dodgers, watching it again and again. It's like a car crash you can't look away from.
That was just crazy. Ball gets hit back to the pitcher. He doesn't quite handle it cleanly. But with two outs, he had an easy play to first, or it should have been an easy play to first. Innings over, the game continues. Who knows what happens after that? Instead, he tries to rush a throw home because he thinks he needs to get the runner at home. The skies it. Mary Hart had a better chance of catching that throw than the poor Phillies catcher did. And it's game over. Horrible way to lose.
Total brain cramp.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So the Dodgers advanced. The Jays have moved on. What do you like about the Jays?
They crushed the ball in the Yankee series. You know, they made a Yankees team that had played very, very well down the stretch, had come from way back to force a tie for the division lead on the last day of the season. You know, just made them look silly and made their pitching look silly. And it was only sort of one kind of disaster in game three that, you know, that kept it from being a sweep. I mean, they looked really, really good.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to wonder beating the Yankees was their World Series. So I wonder if there's going to be a bit of a, if they're going to be able to get up for Detroit or Seattle in the same way.
And I'm not even going to ask you who you like in the Seattle-Detroit game.
It's squeaky bum time around the Edwards house today.
All right. What about the Cubs and Milwaukee?
Cubs handled Milwaukee pretty easily yesterday. It started off with a 3-run home run and kept going from there, shut out the Brewers. So there's a game five on Saturday in Milwaukee, and that could go either way. That series, honestly, I think if it was a 7-game series, it would go 7. If it was a 9-game series, it'd go 9. I don't know. There's not a lot between the two teams right now.
Right. NFL games to watch this weekend.
Well, LOL Jets are in London. And Sunday at 9:30 in the morning, you know, if you feel like an early morning nightmare, you can watch the Jets. The 1 o'clock slate is really encouraging you to go out and get ready for Thanksgiving, because the only game with two decent teams is Seahawks Jaguars. And even that one, I'd have a hard time recommending. 4 o'clock, you've got San Francisco, Tampa Bay. They're both 4-1 on the year. So I think that'll be really interesting. And Sunday night, Detroit and Kansas City. Kansas City is surprisingly 2-3. Detroit is rolling along at 4-1. So I think that'll be good. We'll see if Kansas City can actually right the ship.
What the heck happened with the Giants beating Philadelphia last night?
They might actually be good. That Scatabo kid, he scored 3 touchdowns. He looks like a beast.
Well, any team from New York winning doesn't make sense to me.
It is crazy. The funniest thing I saw was when Jackson Dart was out for an injury briefly, I think. So two plays in of whatever Russell Wilson was doing. And then the next thing you see is coach going into the medical tent going, get me seated enough.
In college football, John, it did not take long. Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina. He's shown a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing spot. Members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools that are expected to be in the CFB playoffs about taking on roles during the postseason. This is not good.
And the idea that Bill Belichick as a college coach would not go well is not surprising. I think it was predicted by pretty much everybody when he took the job back 8 or 9 months ago, whenever it was, the speed with which it all is falling apart. He's already got the vote of confidence, which is the sure sign that things are bad. If the buyout thing has gotten out, that means they're really talking about it. You know, it's really sort of amazing just how quickly, especially after being pretty much humiliated by a Clemson team that was itself looking pretty lousy in the 2 or 3 weeks before. You know, as I said, I didn't think this would last that long. I'm amazed that it may not get to Halloween.
So that debate from a few years ago, it was it Belichick or Brady that was more responsible for the New England wins? I guess that answer has been pretty much put to bed.
Yeah, I do think we can call that one settled.
I love those memes where Belichick is wearing a McDonald's hat. Bill without Tom in his life.
Well, as long as Jordan Hudson doesn't enter the transfer portal, he'll be fine.
Oh, man. Talk to you 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
I think I've had enough. I might get a little drunk. I say what's on my mind. I might do a little time. Cause all of my kindness is taken for weakness. Now I'm 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm just trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would tell me, ooh, that's all I want.
Woke up an optimist. Sun was shining, I'm positive. Talking trash.
I bought a mystery.
Hold me back, I'm about to spaz.
Yeah, I'm about 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would drive it. Ooh, that's all I want.
And I know that you're home tonight, thinking how could I be so selfish. But you called about 1,000 times, wondering where I've been. Now I know that you're out tonight, thinking how could I be so reckless. But I just can't apologize. I hope you can understand.
If I go to jail tonight, promise you'll pay my bill. See, they wanna buy my pride, but that just ain't up for sale.
See, all of my kindness, it's taken for weakness. Now I'm 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday. I'm trying to make it back home by Monday morning. I swear I wish somebody would tell me, ooh, that's all I want. 4 or 5 seconds from wildin', and we got 3 more days till Friday.
The Weekly News Review on The Friday Drive.
Townships-based economic development expert Michel Retzier right here, right now, as we look into the long holiday weekend. Hello there.
Daniel, good afternoon. The closing of this very busy week. How are you?
I'm fine. You?
Yeah, good.
You think Mark Carney's doing good? He was in Washington this past week. Yeah, what's your read on his on the latest get-together with Mr. Orange?
Yeah, he was smiling a lot. And no wonder he was smiling a lot. First of all, the press conference in the Oval Office lasted about 33 minutes, out of which Mr. Trump sucked all the air in the room for 32 of those 33 minutes. I thought that that was a great way to do it, Mr. Carney. Don't get into it with anything that he's saying. And when he did talk, Mr. Carney had, his timing was very good. It made Trump gleam. So the prime minister charmed the snake, we could say. Trump was purring and taking it all in. He even said that Canadians would be happy at the end of that working session. A new sign in this circus came out. We could pick up a new sign that Trump recognized that Canada can also be a partner. Canada also wants to build cars, he said, like the USA. And now we're no longer opponents, but we're competitors and we need to find a compromise. That was a new tone. And that tone seemed to be much more cordial than it ever was. We're supposedly close to an agreement on steel, on aluminum, even on energy. But we'll never know under Trump, right? One thing we do know is Trump will never get rid of tariffs completely. Yeah. We have to start to live in that world now, but not to the extent where he has asked that tariffs be of 45 and 50% on our key sectors. We may see quotas come in, and that could be a good thing. LeBlanc and Anand stayed over a few days more in D.C., and now even the Keystone Pipeline, which is not a Canadian problem, which is a U.S. problem, may be back on the table. I think we still need to stay on guard, Trump being so unpredictable. And a sign of that unpredictability and uncertainty across the world is just a year ago, an ounce of gold, gold being a safe haven asset, as you know, I mean, sure, your backyard, you've buried so much gold right now, you can start taking out a few of those ingots. Things become shaky because gold is a safe haven. A year ago, it was worth $2,528 an ounce. Today, it's worth $3,984 an ounce. That's a 58% increase in 1 year. And that's a sign that everywhere in the world, we find things are shaky and uncertain. And a lot of that comes from Washington, D.C.
It's hard to negotiate with somebody who changes his mind all the time.
Yep, exactly. Right. You have to find a balance in a very shaky, very uncertain situation.
Right. Municipal elections heating up. What's catching your eye this time around?
This is not unusual, but more than half of Quebec mayors and over 3,000 alderpersons for over 1,000 municipalities in Quebec have already been elected by acclamation for the November 2nd elections. In our region, Cowansville, Lac-Mégantic, Quaticook, Orford, Magog, Val-des-Sources, Saint-Catherine-Atlée, Windsor, Richmond, just to name a few, have already re-elected or elected their mayors. Now, this type of behavior may be explained because we have twice as many municipal entities in Quebec for a population of 9 million, and Ontario, of a population of 16 million, has 444 municipalities. So we have a great deal of very small municipalities in our province, and very often these municipalities find themselves in very remote areas. Now, another reason is maybe people are satisfied with past management of their towns and cities and have not opposed the administration that's coming out or that is due to be re-elected or in service as of the 3rd of November, the day after the election. Danielle, managing our towns and cities is not a very sexy job. It's usually challenging because you're the closest entity to the people, to the citizens. And citizens want their services to work. Our cities and streets need to be well lit, clean, secure. Our water needs to be safe. Our parks need to be safe. And we want fast snow removal in the winter. So what this gives us is a democracy where we have about 35-37% of participation every 4 years. Municipal politics is by far no longer what it was in the 60s, when only property owners had the right to vote. Remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Sherbrooke's MNA Christine Labrie was harassed and her security was threatened. Well, this happens also at the municipal level. And we have groups now that act like political parties. So it's managing the basic services for the people. And if your light goes out in front of your house, people will complain like it's the end of the world. It's not always pleasant. And maybe that's why people don't challenge those that are doing a job and think maybe if they have complaints, they still keep them in their posts.
Yeah. Well, looking at the participation rate for the municipal elections across Quebec, especially in the past few years, it seems to me, Michelle, that citizens seem to be complaining more and more, but they're voting less and less. If you don't like the way things are happening, vote to change it.
Of all municipalities right now, the mayors have been re-elected or elected. It's maybe because people like the way these mayors are managing their cities. Why go out and vote? They're re-elected by acclamation. Now, the other half, well, I think it's democracies at work. We just there are four candidates in Sherbrooke right now battling it out.
The big municipal debate this week centered mostly on the 40 KMH on local street issues, tax increases for coming years, and the lack of industrial park areas. There was talk this week about developing near the airport. And let's face it, the airport is way too far as I'm concerned. That's just not a really good solution short term.
I looked into what they had debated and time was spent on this 40 kilometers in the street. Sherbrooke has a huge problem right now. It's over-densifying. Their municipal equipment for sewers and water are over-capacitated, if you want. And every so often, people may not know this, but instead of the way it works, if you flush your toilet, maybe what's going down isn't going down in the filtering system. It goes straight in the Saint-François River. So that should be a priority. I didn't think that it was debated at all this week. So we have four candidates talking about the speed of cars in the street when Sherbrooke has bigger, much bigger problems.
Can't disagree with that. Madame Bibeau on this show next week, Michelle.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Wow, okay.
Michelle, I know you've been tracking this pushback against planned obsolescence, so let me throw this at you. Are we finally seeing a cultural shift where durability is cool again?
This has been a long time coming, and it's been a long time an issue. Let's face it, first of all, we no longer purchase toasters and refrigerators the way our grandparents used to, and they don't last as long. Consumers got impatient, and politicians heard them. In 2023, this Law 29 to protect consumers on this issue was adopted. So that's 2 years ago, and they finalized regulations, and now manufacturers and retailers are in the midst of preparing the application of this law. Obsolescence, in this case, the shelf life of our appliances seems to have gone down, and not seems to, has gone down. The shelf life has gone down, has shortened, and this seems to have been planned. What the law does is protect consumers against obsolescence by favoring durability, repairability, and maintenance of these goods. Now, that's a great idea. Made into law. Again, the reason why it was unanimously passed, by the way, in Quebec City. It reinforces certain guarantees that have been required for decades now. Think of cars. And it also requires manufacturers and retailers to guarantee that spare parts will be made available, that appliances and other goods can be repaired, and that consumers can choose the repairman of choice now. Okay, this sounds great. But the Retail Council of Quebec sees that there are many difficulties for its members in the realistic application of these dispositions. I have no qualms whatsoever when it comes to forcing manufacturers to ensure greater durability of their hardware, as well as large retail chains such as Best Buy or Canadian Tire providing clear information, guarantees, and repairs. But when it comes to the small retailer, the little hardware store, they can't be held responsible for carrying the burden of obsolescence when it comes to manufacturers. So I'm hopeful that the Office de Protection des Consommateurs will play a key role in finding a balance with respect to some of these new responsibilities. Otherwise, small retailers, especially those in rural areas, won't be able to carry some of these products and will end up ceding market to more bigger and major players. And that's not good for a competition, especially in smaller and more remote areas.
Yeah, it makes no sense to hold Joe's hardware store responsible for what happened. But on the other hand, it doesn't make bloody sense. You're buying a dishwasher or refrigerator, it goes clunk on you in about 7 or 8 years. That's nuts.
I think really that there's a balance to be struck here, and I'm not sure they've struck it yet.
Proof is going to be in the pudding, and this is really going to be hard to apply, to be sure.
Yeah, the proof in the pudding or in the pudding maker.
Have yourself a good long weekend. We speak next week.
All right, Daniel. Take care. You too. Cheers.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
For a while there, it was rough, but lately I've been doing better than the last four cold Decembers I recall. And I see my family every month. I found a girl my parents love. She'll come and stay the night, and I think I might have it all. And I thank God every day for the girl he sent my way. But I know the things he gives me, he can take away. And I hold you every night, and that's a feeling I wanna get used to. But there's no man as terrified as the man who stands to lose you. Oh, I hope I don't lose you. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. Please stay. I want you, I need you, oh God. Don't take these beautiful things that I've got. My mind, I'm feeling sane. It's been a while, but I'm finding my faith. If everything's good and it's great, why do I sit and wait till it's gone? Oh, I tell you, I know I've got enough. I've got peace and I've got love, but I'm up at night thinking I just might lose it all. You, I need you, oh God. I need these beautiful things that I've got.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week, it's station manager Tony Mason. Hello there. How does the long holiday weekend look for you?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. We've been pretty busy here in the fall at CIDI. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Spending some time at my cousin's for a Thanksgiving dinner. Last week, CIDI was at the Walk to End All Cancers, hosted by Shelley Meisner, who was the honorary president of the event. She was, of course, accompanied by everyone's favorite local hero, Cash. The CIDI team was there in force with Grandpa Bob, Jim Ferrier, Holly Bailey, Ali Bonneville, Virginia Barnes, yours truly, and my dog Barkley. Altogether, our amazing Lac Brome community raised over $200,000 for the BMP Foundation.
That's wonderful news. Hey, there's also a rebroadcast of the Meet the Candidates event.
Yeah, that's correct. Next week, we will be broadcasting the live recording of the Meet the Candidates event that was held at Lac Brome on October 2nd with the four mayoral candidates who are running for office here in Brome Lake. Listeners can tune in to CIDI 99.1 FM on October 14th at 10 a.m. and again at 5 p.m. on October 16th at 1 p.m. and 3 p.m.
Got it. Halloween is fast approaching. There's a barbecue coming up as well.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite things here at CIDI. This will be our fourth annual Halloweeny barbecue on October 31st, on Halloween Day. We invite listeners to come visit us at our new home at 109A Lakeside between noon and 6 p.m. stop by, make a $5 donation, get yourself a hot dog or two and some Halloween treats. All the funds raised at the barbecue go to support our very good friends at Le Comptoir Familial de Knowlton. Again, this is our fourth year doing it. Everyone in the CIDI family looks forward to dressing up and supporting our community every year.
You want to tell us what sort of costume you're planning?
I usually wear my bear costume, but I might find something different this year.
This I would like to see.
Well,
Tony, you've got Virginie Barnes with you, and yeah. She wants to talk about the new membership program.
Our newest team member, Virginie Barnes, who has never been on radio before. So I will pass the mic to her and say hi, Virginie.
Hi.
Good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
Very well. So I understand that we're going to be hearing from you more and more in the next few weeks.
Well, I just wanted to present myself and tell you what I do around here.
What do you do around here?
I am the new membership coordinator here at CIDI, and my job is to create, develop, and implement a brand new membership program. So my vision for the future membership program is to offer advantages to our very own members. For instance, they could get discounts at local shops. I have high hopes for this new membership program.
People are really happy for you to be part of the team. Sure, everyone, Tony included, are expecting big things from you.
Yep, well, I hope I deliver.
Virginie Barnes and Tony Mason, thank you both so much. Of course, you can listen to CIDI on 99.1 FM and check the website at CIDI991.com. Tony and Virginie, thank you.
Thank you.
Township's weather tonight: clear, low plus 1. Tomorrow, sunny, high 17. Sunday, mix of sun and cloud, 19. Holiday Monday, cloudy, a 60% chance of showers and a high of 14. Ed Humphrey just after 5 o'clock with things to do in the townships. 5:10 interview of the week, head coach of the Bishop's Gators Football Club, Sherif Nicolas. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. It's all on the Friday Drive, CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI. 99.1 FM.